Every child that is born comes into this world with a selfish nature. I repeat that. Every child that is born comes into the world with a selfish nature. If you've ever had the opportunity to see some small children who would both like to play with the same toy, you may have seen some of that selfish nature come out in the reactions that they have. So, self demonstrates it at an early age. There was a sister in a store, a market, a place to buy food, and there was a woman with her child, and he wanted candy. And the mother wanted him to have fruit. Well, it ended up that the sister was in the area where the checkout was, and the woman and the child was also. And the child had the candy. So perhaps the mother gave in to maybe the reaction or behavior of the child and give in for the candy instead of the fruit. So selfishness is shown at an early age. And adults have selfish things too, if they haven't died to their self, that wants their way. And if their way is not had, resentments can come into the hearts and minds of individuals who have been denied having their own way. And some can suppress, and some can give in to their selfish reactions. But at any rate, self is just not in children, but it's in adults, and that we all have to deal with it as we live life. And selfishness will never produce deep spirituality, and they just don't mix. And we have examples of those who had selfish desires that they give in to, and as a result of giving in to it, there were very serious consequences. Selfishness dates back to the Garden of Eden. If you remember the story of creation and how God created the man and then the woman, and he made this beautiful, beautiful garden with beautiful, there's no park in the world that could come up to the beauty that was in this wonderful garden. And the river that flowed through there, and the fruit and the trees and all of the amenities that God placed there for this special couple to enjoy. And also, this couple had the great privilege of actually having communication with God daily as he walked and talked with them in the garden. Well, I don't know how long that this wonderful place and this communication with God existed before. The desire that the woman had to eat of the forbidden fruit. And that desire, the enemy knew about. And that selfish desire that she had was given to, the enemy used a serpent to have a conversation with Eve. And Eve had a happy life. She had everything she needed. She had things that were absent from her life that are in the lives of those now. I don't believe that Eve ever had a stress headache. She never had to wash or iron clothes. She never had to cook. She just had a life of, well, should have been very happy, and she should have been satisfied with everything she had. But this desire, this appeal, this attraction that, and maybe she had looked at this tree numbers of times, and her curiosity perhaps was involved in it and wondering how it would be to have the ability to partake of that fruit. That's unknown things. But at any rate, this serpent got to talking to her and influencing her and deceiving her and seducing her through her selfish desire. And she was influenced to the point that, got to make an adjustment here, influenced to the point that well, let's read about it. In Genesis, let me get it here. Fourth verse of the third chapter. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So this desire that she had, this selfish desire, and the deception that he had been convincingly enough to be able to get her to reach out, take the fruit, and eat of it. And thus, through her act and then giving it to her husband, and he also partaking of it, plunged them into a sinful state. Immediately, their eyes were opened, and fear came into their hearts very quickly. And they knew something had happened. And from that time on, life changed for them. They were evicted from the beautiful garden in which God had so graciously, specially made for them. And their life was so radically changed. There was the angels placed there that they couldn't come back. They were forever banished from this place that God had specially for them, due to the selfish desire that Eve had, and her husband was influenced some way that he was involved. And both of them suffered greatly. And as a result, in 2018, August the 12th, the whole world has suffered from the consequences of that one disobedient act of selfishness. And so it is today that people are selfish. They are selfish, living for the indulgence of what self wants and desires, and will manipulate to get their way. And we have one extreme example of manipulation for self to have its way in Ahab, a wicked king with an equally or surpassive wicked wife, queen. And Ahab was the king, and his property adjoined Naboth's property. And Naboth had a vineyard in which was his inheritance. And Ahab had a selfish desire. He had a palace. He had luxury. He had things that his flesh indulged in, that he enjoyed. And he was so selfish, wanting this vineyard of Naboth. Well, they had a conversation one-on-one, Naboth and Ahab. And Naboth let him know, I'm not giving up my vineyard. You're king, but this is my inheritance, and I'm not selling it, not parting with it. Oh, this upset Ahab. I have a picture here. I don't know if you could see it or not. But can you see it? He had this probably awful look on his face. And he was so upset. He went home, went to his room, no food, no entertainment. He was having a pouting party. And Jezebel come, his wicked wife, and wanted to know what's the matter with you. And he told her that he couldn't get that vineyard. Well, manipulation, you get it. And she schemed up her, in her mind, a manipulating way to get Naboth's vineyard for her husband. And it involved death. Yes. The death of Naboth. And so, in motion, this plan, this scheme, this manipulation set out. And it was very successful. This innocent man that wanted to retain his inheritance had a cruel death. Can you see that selfishness is very bad? It is deadly. It plunged the world into sin. And Eve's two sons, her first twoborn, one of them brutally killed the other. And her mother's heart probably was touched deeply through it. And now here is Ahab. Oh, now. Can you see him now? I got the vineyard. Happy, isn't he? Got my way. But it didn't last long, did it? He met up with Elijah. Selfish choices has very serious consequences. He met up with Elijah. And Elijah had some very serious things to say to Ahab. Oh, today, young people, children, if you have selfish tendencies, if you want the biggest piece of pie, if you want always to have your way, and that's one reason the world's in the condition it is today. Because people have wanted their own selfish ways. People that are selfish enough to want somebody else's husband or wife, that they will manipulate to get it. People who are selfish enough to spend time scheming scams to get old people to be schemed out of their money. Oh, there's just different aspects of how self asserts itself to gratify itself. But it's just temporary. The gratifications of the flesh is just temporary. I know of someone right now that's a senior citizen, maybe around 80 years old, I don't know. But they're in adultery. Maybe they have 5 more years to be in adultery. I don't know. Maybe they don't have that law. But to have that flesh indulgence satisfied 5 years and then be in eternity forever for 5 years of indulgence in the flesh. But that is the motivation of many people that will cling to their selfish desires for a lifetime. And I know of a woman that's, I believe she's 79 now, and someone was with her about her life here not too long ago, and she's still remaining in sin today. She can't walk very far, if any. Her health is limiting her, but she's still clinging to sin and self. She may go out into eternity that way, to be lost forever. Ahab wasn't the last person with a selfish desire. Elisha had a servant named Gehazi, however you pronounce it. He had probably been a trusted servant, for he was the one that suggested to Elisha about the Shunammite woman who Elisha wanted a favor because they had built a room for Elisha to stay in when he was traveling to and from. And Elisha asked after the woman was satisfied with, or talked like she was satisfied with her life, and he consulted, Elisha did, the servant, what can be done? And he had observed that she didn't have a child. And through that suggestion, Elisha went forward with it, and the lady was able to have a child. Well, this servant perhaps was a support and a help to Elisha in different ways. And Naaman was a leper, and he was in another country, and he found out about a prophet. Yes. And the prophet was Elisha. He was able, through some ways of getting to find out about Elisha, and he went to Elisha's home. Instead of Elisha going out and speaking to this man with leprosy, he sent Gehazi out. He was used of Elisha. Well, Naaman was told what to do, and he was very upset because of what he was required to do to be healed. Was going back to his home country. Came a leper, was going home one. But he had some advice given him, and he decided, I'll try it. And when he did, I don't know if he was cleansed each time he dipped, or if it was just a sudden cleansing on the seventh time, or I don't know how that came about, but he was healed when he obeyed. Well, he was so grateful. He was so thankful that he made his way back to Elisha's home. And Elisha this time went out and spoke to him. And he was so grateful, he had gifts. He must have had some faith to believe that he would be healed because he brought gifts in for Elisha. But Elisha wasn't in it for the money. God's true ministers, are they in it for the money? He was in it for not gifts. And so he refused any kind of gift. But Gehazi was close enough that he heard about it. Yes. And he wanted some money. He wanted things that Naaman had. Naaman parted with Elisha and went his way. But Gehazi, with that selfish desire, I want that. I want what he has, and I'm going to follow him. And he did. Naaman spotted him, stopped, and heard the lie. Yes. Heard the lie. Self will get you to lie. Yes. He heard the lie, and he responded with more than Gehazi asked for. And self will cause you to be sneaky. He didn't take it all the way back. He left it, some of it. And Elisha confronted him. Where you been? And he talked another lie. Self will get you to tell one lie, and then you can get in a situation where you lie again. Yes. And he was, the story of it's in Kings. I think it's Second Kings 5. Well, we'll start at the 20th. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." And then it goes on to tell about what happened after that. And what verse is it that has where he lied to Elijah? But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhither." And he, see, another lie he told. And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and manservants?" And here's the consequence. "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence, a leper, as white as snow. Oh, today, God help us with our desires, that they not get us into situations like Gehazi got into. He got into real problems. And oh, it happened with Jonah when Jonah was told what God wanted him to do. And Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Ministers have to deal with themselves too. And so Jonah thought, I'll just go another direction. I'll go down to a ship and I'll get a voyage. And I'll get out of doing this. And he went down there and he got in his wallet and paid to get out of the will of God. He actually put out money to do a selfish thing. You know, self will get you to put out your money. Selfish desires can cause people to use that little piece of plastic that says Discover, Visa, MasterCard to overextend credit. You think that's ever been done? Selfish desires? Well, anyway, Jonah got on that ship and it took off. And he went to go to sleep. And he slept soundly. But God was not finished with Jonah. He still wanted him to preach the message to the people that judgment was going to come. And Jonah, asleep in the storm, raging, the crew felt like our life's at peril. And they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. That selfish preacher. And he knew he was a problem. And they tried to not, as he told them, just throw me over. And they tried to keep from doing that, but they finally did. And God had a special prepared fish that swallowed this man whole. And he went down into the digestive system of this fish sitting in the belly. And that's where the food tries to digest itself. And that fish probably tried to digest Jonah. But Jonah got in problems with God for his selfishness of not doing what God wanted him to do. And he was in there 3 days and three nights. I don't think he slept any, probably. He probably was not sleepy. I've had some experiences in traveling and things that the nights were... Well, anyway, Jonah knew he was in trouble, and he prayed. Selfishness can get you in trouble with God, but prayer can help get you out of it. Well, God made that old fish so sick at its stomach that he took him and he got close enough to the shore and he was able to inject him out, and Jonah went with the message. But he wasn't out of that selfish mode, because after he gave the message, God showed mercy. But then the mercy upset Jonah, and he had a pouting party. But he had 100% response from those people with the message. Even the king. Even the king was different. Well, thank God that God sent somebody into this old world that wasn't selfish. And that was my Jesus. The song 145. Jesus left a home of dazzling splendor for this sinful world with sorrow dim, humbly filling the place of a servant. Jesus didn't come as a celebrity. He didn't go about like riding around through places where he went, like the queen or the pope. He didn't do that. He came as a servant. He did make a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but he came as a servant. And he calls us all to follow him. Jesus lived a life of self-denial. He lived a life of selflessness. He come to do the Father's will. He didn't come to satisfy his flesh. He came and he got weary. Jesus got weary around doing good, walking to place, doing what he could to help his fellow man, to bring joy to a widow who had lost her son, and she was a widow, so she had lost her husband. But she was made glad when Jesus stopped that funeral procession and spoke life into that dead body of that son. Jesus did that. Oh, yes, Jesus was weary, worn, and tried. And his requirement for discipleship was deny yourself. That's a requirement for discipleship. And people with selfish ambitions, oh, that young people wouldn't plan out their life's agenda to gratify themselves. But if they would plan their life, I'm going down on my knees. And I'm going to ask the Lord what Paul did. What would you have me do? About my education? Is college right for me? What would you have me do, Lord? Who would you have for my companion? But people, oh, for God to be able to speak to young people, to be able to raise up evangelists with fire in their spirit and soul for the lost. Could we use some more? Could we use some more Holy Ghost-filled young people to proclaim the Word of God? That they'd have a passion for God and not for high-paying jobs and things that would have priority over what God could use in their life. But selfishness, and that was predicted in the last day, that people would be lovers of their own self more than God. Lovers of pleasure. And so, may God bless. The song says, can I behold the dear Savior's death? Oh, what kind of a person would it be that a man laying down on a cross would take big old nails and drive it in their body? But if those men that was doing that to Jesus as he had his arms stretched out, if they could have looked into his eyes and seen love, seen mercy. Some soldier was convinced by the conduct that Jesus displayed in the time of pressure. And he said, yes, surely he is the Son of God. Jesus lived that life of not for himself, but for others. To be able to bring eyesight to people, to do good, and to see the expression of joy on people's face when they were healed. He lived a life of self-denial. And to be successful in living for God, we cannot be selfish, wanting our own way about everything. Is it good for us to have our own way about everything? What's your actions when you're cross, when you really want something? Like the little boys that want the same toy. What's your reaction on the inside? Is the resentment coming from being denied what you want? May God bless us today that we will live a life where God will be pleased with us and that we'll be able to be a blessing to our fellow man. There will be a reward for those who have lived lives that have not been selfish. When Jesus splits through those clouds and comes and he divides the sheep from the goats. And he's going to have a different message for each group. And you know the ones that's going to be hearing the words, come, is the ones who have lived lives of self-denial. That they've taken time to visit. They've taken time to, it tells of what they did in the 25th chapter of Matthew. They visited. They give to the hungry. Those who have lived a selfish life, they said, when will we see you do these, to do this? But he'll be able to respond to them. So today, may God bless you, those who have desires. We'll read that, the 25th chapter. Then, 41st verse, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they say also, then shall also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hunger or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Listen to the answer. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So those who lead selfish lives will hear the words depart. And those who have led self-giving will hear the words, come, come. May God bless us today. I have something here I'll read. May the children get a blessing from it. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as could be, grabbing a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as the gusty cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irate as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one or two. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve, and he also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled, and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at the thief ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank into her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair. The others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one and great the thief. May God bless. We need him. When we get old, we still have self to deal with, don't we, Sister Maxine? May God help us. Would you pray for me that God will help me? Our Father, today, thank you for Jesus, who modeled self-denial. Oh, he denied himself. And he was able to put the devil in his place. But when it come to facing the reality of dying on the cross, he had a fight with his flesh. His flesh, his self wanted an alternate way. But he was able to say, not my will, but thine be done. And so he won the battle over self there in the Garden of Eden, a Garden of Gethsemane. And he was able to face the slapping, the spitting, the crown of thorns, the walk to the cross, the nails, the agony, the beating that had been given him with the ripping of his skin, the blood. Help us. Whatever we have to die to in ourselves, by your help, by your grace, that we'll be able to do it. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. May you bless this to be of eternal value to those here today. Help me, Jesus. I need it. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years I long for it. Perfect peace with him, and I often sought the Lord alone in tears, but I would not pay the price, make the sacrifice. So I wonder on and on for me. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. May all self be slain. My